You know, when you think about it, maybe the only thing that gets us rattled as much as the Redskins losing is all the traffic out there. And boy, a traffic of arguments about what to do about it, but very little in the way of actual steps. The Virginia General Assembly is reconvening next week. It will have a special session to take up the issue of transportation, the subject of this year's unprecedented budget impasse in Richmond. Democratic Governor Tim Kaine and the Republican-controlled Senate sharply disagreeing with the House on the need to raise taxes to fund road, rail, and public transportation projects. Governor Kaine and the Senate favor tax increases while the House opposes them, saying that Virginia should use existing state revenues. We've got a couple of people who know the insides of this, can help us through the dialogue and hold an intelligent conversation with us. Chris Zimmerman, a Democrat and the current chairman of the Arlington County Board, vice chairman of the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. We're also joined by Marty Noe, a Republican who is the Coles District Supervisor in Prince William County and a representative to the Northern Virginia Transportation Authority. Gentlemen, thank you both for being with us this morning. Talk about a pretty hot issue for everybody around here. Thank you.
Good morning.
Chris, I'm going to begin with you. Tell me here, there is a plan that the Transportation Authority in Northern Virginia has just come up with. What is it?
Well, it's a comprehensive plan that is multimodal, focuses on all the aspects of transportation, not just roads, but public transportation, as well as you know, other aspects, pedestrian and bicycle facilities. It's based on priorities. One of the criticisms of earlier plans were that they were just lists of projects, whereas this one, we spent an extensive amount of time developing criteria and prioritizing based on the ability of different improvements to address different aspects of the need, including, you know, moving people, not just vehicles, and so on. It was also based on considerable amount of public input, including a independently conducted survey, what some people call a scientific survey of Northern Virginians, as well as other methods of input, so that we have a real good view of what is necessary to make Northern Virginia continue to function, frankly, in the year 2030.
Well, Marty, what is necessary to keep us functioning in the year 2030? Some might argue that we've gotten to a point here where we're not functioning quite as well as we used to already.
Well, I think that's absolutely correct, is that there's no question that our transportation infrastructure is deteriorating in terms of capacity and its ability to get people moving around. I think what makes the Transaction 2030 plan unique and important, an important change in moving forward, is first the point that Chris made. It includes a list of priorities. This is not a pie-in-the-sky plan that says build all of the roads, build all of the transit. We've narrowed it down to the key projects that we in local government and our constituents feel are necessary in order to keep us moving. I think the second key point is that this is not the pie-in-the-sky plan that's going to solve all of our problems all at once. It's a very realistic approach, saying these are the projects that are just going to keep us moving. We know that as long as Northern Virginia is the economic engine for the entire state, our population is going to grow, jobs are going to keep coming here, and people need to keep moving. These are the projects that are going to keep things from getting even worse, not even necessarily the projects that are going to make things 100% perfect.
So, Chris, how do we fund it? That's always the big megilla here. How do we fund it?
Well, and clearly, you need, we're looking at perhaps $700 million a year in additional revenue in order to do this. You know, frankly, if you can't do all of that, I think that you need at least about $400 million a year if you're going to be serious about this at all. And so that's a lot of new revenue. And, you know, yes, that generally means something that most people would look at as a tax. I mean, there's no way around that. If you don't come up with real new revenue, then you just can't do this. Our view has been whatever you have to do. So, you know, we're open to a variety of approaches. Obviously, we'd like it to be balanced. You know, nobody wants to pay new taxes, and no elected official wants to vote for new taxes. But the reality is, you need a lot more revenue, or you can't do this. So we're either going to be, you know, stuck in congestion with the air getting worse and our economy being choked, or we're going to come up with substantial new revenue.
So, Marty, if you asked a lot of people stuck in traffic, perhaps they are right now as we speak and they listen to us, they'd tell you that they'd pay a few more bucks, even a day, on a daily basis to be able to get out of it. Because the one thing that they can't manage well because of this traffic is their time. And what is more important in life than our time?
Sure. I think our goal certainly is local elected officials, and I like to believe that this is the hope and goal of our state officials as well, is essentially to get people home from work faster. This is a major quality of life issue. It is the major quality of life issue for folks in Northern Virginia. And I think what we've consistently heard from people, no matter where they live, inner jurisdictions or outer jurisdictions, the extra 20 minutes, half hour, hour and a half in some cases, they're spending on the train, on the road, is really having an impact on the way they live their lives. And I think that it's important that the General Assembly sort of put aside some of the bickering and some of the philosophical divisions that have led them to where they are and start looking for the meaningful transportation solutions, because this is what people are screaming at us they want fixed. This is the number one priority for working folks in Northern Virginia.
But how are you going to, Chris, how are you going to get Richmond to respond? I mean, here is Northern Virginia, almost another world away from you know, the General Assembly.
Yeah, that is a frustrating part of this, although I will say that, you know, of the five players in this, the governor and the two houses of the General Assembly, the two caucuses each, you know, four out of five basically have been willing to step up and do something. And, you know, the question is whether it's going to be all five or whether it's going to be held up. I think that there is, you know, growing understanding. We clearly had support, you know, from the governor and the Senate, you know, at least one part of the House. You know, if this was for Northern Virginia to decide, I think it would be taken care of, too. So, you know, we're hoping that the rest of the state and those that have been unwilling to support will recognize that a huge portion of the revenue that's coming to the state and frankly, funding things in the rest of the state is from Northern Virginia. Northern Virginia really is the economic engine of the state. It's something like 40% of state revenues. If we don't make the proper investments in Northern Virginia's transportation infrastructure, ultimately schools in Southwest Virginia are going to suffer because they're dependent on the revenue that's being generated by this economy.
So, Marty, it's as if they're killing the cash cow if they don't support this.
Well, exactly right. And I think that, you know, we can look at the state budget, which has grown dramatically over the last several years, primarily because of good economic health in the state and obviously in Northern Virginia. There are different philosophies of how to get there. I would like to see this get funded without tax increases, but that requires that the General Assembly be willing to prioritize the money that's coming out of Northern Virginia, putting it back into Northern Virginia in order to keep things moving.
Let me ask you both to identify individually what you consider to be the number one problem that could be fixed with whatever you think that solution is for transportation in Northern Virginia. Chris, I'll begin with you.
Well, I don't know that there's a number one problem. That's unfortunately, as we show in the plan, serious congestion in the way of you know, more than an hour or so of stop and go traffic, you know, is already in appearing all over the region. And by 2030, it just covers the region. We need improvements in corridors all the way around, whether it's, you know, the 395 corridor going south, you know, going west to Dulles. I mean, I guess if I have to pick a project, I say Dulles Rail is the most significant thing of the major projects that we could do. But, you know, frankly, we need to do more than a single thing because we have issues throughout the region.
And Marty, how about you?
Well, I think what makes the Transaction 2030 plan great is that it prioritizes projects on a corridor-by-corridor basis. We've got projects in 95, we've got projects on 66, we've got projects on Route 7, et cetera. I think that the key thing to all of this is that it's got to be a blend of both road construction and transit. One of the fascinating things that the survey came back with is that support for transit in Prince William County, where there isn't as big a demand and there certainly isn't as much transit available, is just as strong as support for transit in Arlington and Alexandria. So people throughout the region understand that this isn't just more train cars, nor is it just more roads, that it's got to be a balanced approach. And I think that's the number one priority, is making sure that we do this in a way that gets people not just moving faster along the roads, but gets people off the roads as well.
And finally, as we wrap up our conversation, Chris, is there any reason for optimism here that intelligence will prevail here and people will do something in a spirit of cooperation to solve problems, as opposed to what happened during the regular session of the General Assembly, when that didn't happen in any way, shape, or form, and so as a result, there were no solutions that were passed?
Well, you know, it's always dangerous to make predictions, and I don't know that I have any more insight to the General Assembly than anyone else, but I have to think, when I look at things like, well, as Marty said, the survey was quite striking in the strong support for public transportation and the strong support in general for doing something, including if it involved paying for it, and every other indication that people in Northern Virginia, you know, need something done, want something done, and are calling for action. You know, I have to hope that the General Assembly will respond to that.
And Marty?
Well, I think optimism sometimes is the only thing we've got in this situation. I think that this special session does indicate that people in Richmond are taking this seriously. I think we have to be optimistic because we may not get this opportunity again. We have this very small window to do something and do it right. And if we miss this, we may not have another chance for several years.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. I know there could not be an issue more important other than the Redskins this morning.
Absolutely.
Than transportation for residents of Northern Virginia. I want to thank you very, very much for your time and thoughts on this. Appreciate you both being with us.
Thank you, Mike.
Chris Zimmerman and Marty Noe with us here on the